Hello, and welcome to the Subverse News Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about a range of topics, including Jeffrey Epstein dead, autopsy details in the works, Hong Kong protesters take over the airport, Norwegian gunmen stop that mosque, famous streamer Ninja leaves Twitch for Mixer, protests over Amazon's partnership with ICE, New Zealand conducts a mandatory buyback of guns. Before we get into today's topics, make sure you follow us on Minds at subverse.minds.com, where you can find our articles, exclusive content, and our public newsroom. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. Links are in the podcast description. On Saturday, August 10th, officials from the Metropolitan Correctional Center announced that Jeffrey Epstein, a multimillionaire on trial for federal sex trafficking charges, abruptly died after being found unresponsive in his cell. The details on the circumstances of Epstein's death are still inconclusive, and information is sparse as medical professionals are suspected to give more information about how the high-profile financier met his end. Epstein's death may cut short the release of details surrounding his current case, involving the trafficking and abuse of underaged girls, as well as the details surrounding more individuals involved. He was denied bail and faced up to 45 years if found guilty. The millionaire pleaded not guilty and was awaiting trial. Epstein is often well known to have been highly connected with celebrities and powerful political figures, which help bolster public interest in the case. His arrest on July 6th was highly publicized when details came to light of a 2008 case where he pled guilty to soliciting a minor in Florida to avoid serious federal charges. Last week, a document containing over 2,000 pages was released related to the settled lawsuit between Epstein and ex-girlfriend Virginia Jeffrey, who accused him of sex crimes. The records had graphic accounts against Epstein, as well as the transcript of a deposition where Epstein refused to answer questions as not to incriminate himself. The Associated Press reported that although the millionaire was placed on suicide watch after being found in his jail cell 2 weeks ago with bruises on his neck, he was subsequently taken off the watch at the end of July. Jack Donson, a former prison official who worked with the Bureau of Prisons for more than two decades, stated that Epstein's removal from suicide watch would have had to have been approved by both the warden and the facility's chief psychologist. A person familiar with the prison spoke with Fox News, suggesting that Epstein had not been checked up on for several hours, despite being required to check in every 30 minutes. Additionally, Epstein was assigned a cellmate, but the individual was transferred out of the cell on Friday. Epstein was located in the special housing unit, a heavily secured portion of the Manhattan-based jail that separates general population from high-profile inmates. Dr. Barbara Sampson, New York City's chief medical examiner, made a statement on Sunday about Epstein's autopsy, where she said it was pending further information before she could come to a full determination. Epstein's lawyers requested that Sampson allow a private pathologist, Dr. Michael Baden, to observe the examination. Sampson stated that federal prosecutors were aware of Dr. Baden's presence, saying it was routine practice. Baden, who was New York City's chief medical examiner in the late 1970s, has been an expert witness on multiple high-profile cases, including the forensic pathology panel that investigated the assassination of JFK, gave testimony at the trial for O.J. Simpson, and was hired to conduct the autopsy of Michael Brown. Currently, Baden runs a private forensic pathology consulting practice. Dr. Joe Cohen, a pathologist who worked with NYC's medical examiner's office, said that it was not unusual that Sampson didn't release the cause of death in the case, stating, "They don't want to jump to conclusions or rush a judgment." While Epstein's death certainly makes it more difficult for prosecutors to continue pursuing charges, the federal investigation of allegations are still ongoing. U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman noted in a statement Saturday that Epstein's indictment includes a conspiracy charge, which suggests that others may still face charges in the case.
Unrest continued in Hong Kong for the 10th straight weekend as protesters gathered in several downtown districts where clashes with police have escalated further. On Friday, protesters organized a sit-in at one of the busiest airports in the world, Hong Kong International. All departing flights were canceled, and more than 70 arriving flights were also stopped. In the evening, the airport was filled with confused and frustrated travelers who weren't sure if their flights had been canceled or not. Thousands of protesters in the airport arrival hall warned arriving travelers, "Don't trust the police," and held up images of bloody clashes between protesters and riot police. Some shouted, "Turn back," while others apologized for the inconvenience. On Saturday, young protesters blocked a vital tunnel under Hong Kong's Victoria Harbor barricading a traffic intersection and setting fires outside a police station in a shopping district popular with tourists. The protests on Sunday started peacefully in Victoria Park, located in the north end of Hong Kong Island, and were authorized by the police. However, demonstrators defied protocol by going west instead of east and clogged a major thoroughfare, stopping traffic and splintering in different directions. Some protesters attempted to approach the headquarters of Hong Kong Police west of Victoria Park, but retreated when officers charged at them and fired tear gas in Wan Chai, a downtown neighborhood popular with expatriates. The police said that protesters threw gasoline bombs at officers in the area. Footage from Twitter shows riot police firing rifles at close range at a crowd of demonstrators who seemed to be retreating. The police said in a statement that some protesters had been hurling bricks at officers, posing a threat to the safety of everyone at the scene. A few districts north, television footage showed police officers firing tear gas into Kwai Fong subway station near a police station where protesters had gathered. This seemed to be the first time that the police had resorted to that tactic in an effort to clear demonstrators. Demonstrators were angered by reports that a female protester could lose an eye after she was reportedly hit with a beanbag round during a protest. Authorities have begun emphasizing the damage to the city's economy, already buffeted by China's slowdown and the U.S.-China trade war. Cathay Pacific, the world's 10th largest airline, warned staff they could be fired if they support or participate in illegal protests in Hong Kong as pressure from Beijing intensifies. On Friday, China ordered the airline to suspend workers who support pro-democracy protests in the territory. Cathay fired two employees and suspended one pilot over the weekend in response to the order. Cathay Pacific is now subject to new regulations announced last week by Beijing's aviator regulator, the Civil Aviation Administration of China, which came into effect on Sunday. These require it to submit lists of staff working on flights going to the mainland or through its airspace. Fueled by China's state-run press, a boycott campaign on social media using the hashtag #BoycottCathayPacific has attracted more than 17 million views. Beijing warned that escalating violence by anti-government protesters in Hong Kong, especially against the police, was showing signs of terrorism, and reiterated its support for the city's force to take resolute action to crack down on rioters. Yang Guang, a spokesman for the Hong Kong and Macau Affairs Office under the State Council, read out a statement to Hong Kong media in Beijing saying, "In recent days, Hong Kong's radical protesters have repeatedly attacked police with highly dangerous tools, which constitute serious violent crimes and have started to show signs of terrorism." Yang said, "This type of violent criminal activity must be resolutely combated according to the law with no hesitation or mercy." Footage showing Chinese military trucks gathering in Futian, Shenzhen, located directly above Hong Kong, has prompted many to question where the vehicles are going. Beijing-based military specialist Zhou Chunming said the armed police were taking part in regular drills and people should not feel nervous. Police in Norway arrested Philip Manshaus, 21, on Saturday for shooting at people in Al-Noor Islamic Center in Bærum, around 12 miles from Oslo. Imran Mushtaq, a board member at the Al-Noor Mosque, told NRK, the Norwegian government-owned radio and television public broadcasting company and the largest media organization in Norway, that more than a dozen people were praying inside the mosque just 10 minutes before the suspect arrived. By the time the shooting began, only three older men were left inside. The suspect, who wore body armor and a helmet, entered by shooting through the mosque's locked glass door, Mushtaq said. Two weapons were found inside the mosque and believed to be connected to the suspect, police said. A 75-year-old member of the congregation was injured in the shooting, Mushtaq told TV2. Witnesses said Mohammed Rafiq, a 65-year-old man who tackled the gunman, restrained the terror suspect and held him down with Mohammed Iqbal until police arrived, despite being injured in the struggle. Rune Skjold, assistant chief of police, praised the great courage shown by Mr. Rafiq and Mr. Iqbal in restraining the gunman after several shots were fired, adding, "There is no doubt that their efforts prevented this from having entirely different consequences." Speaking to the press outside a nearby hotel on Sunday, Mr. Rafiq said, "I'm thankful for all of the help and support I have received." After detaining the suspect, police raided the suspect's nearby house and found the body of his 17-year-old stepsister. Officials said that he was prepared to cause more deaths and injuries, but didn't succeed because people inside the mosque helped neutralize him. Officials did not confirm how the bruises around his face and head, clearly seen in court on Monday, were sustained. The gunman's attorney, Uni Frias, declined to comment on the report by Dagbladet, one of Norway's largest newspapers, that on the day of the attack, Manshaus wrote online that he had been chosen by St. Breton Tarrant, the Christchurch gunman. On Monday, Hans Schwer Schwold, head of Norway's domestic security agency, PST, said the agency had received a tip-off about Manshaus last year, but did not investigate further. "There was nothing in that tip-off that suggested there was a danger of an act of terrorism or that planning of an attack was underway." A judge gave police permission to hold Manshaus in custody for an initial 4 weeks while he is investigated on suspicion of murder and breaching anti-terrorism laws. Prosecutors said the investigation is still in an early phase and the suspect has not made any statements to the police.
Recently, a deal between celebrity streamer Ninja and Microsoft helped the tech giant become a new contender against Amazon-owned Twitch TV's dominance over the game streaming industry. Tyler Blevins, who goes by the screen name Ninja, recently began playing games exclusively on Mixer, Microsoft's streaming platform. The move represents Microsoft's first major poach from Twitch, which has dominated the streaming space for the past few years. Blevins has been the biggest star on Twitch, pulling an average of 41,000 viewers on any day. But that all changed when his contract ended. While the outline of Microsoft's contract with Blevins is still under wraps, the company made the move to recruit streaming talent who would exclusively stream on their platform. The current video game market, which is currently worth $150 billion a year, is continuing to expand as more people flock to watch their favorite gamers, as well as the advent of esports. The recruiting of well-known influencer in the streaming market is important for drawing subscriptions and advertising money, which helps games grow, as well as platforms take off. Microsoft's move to acquire Twitch's largest star is for that exact purpose. According to talent agents who work with online advertisers, Ninja's contract most likely included a multi-year deal from Mixer, as well as a sign-on bonus most likely in the low tens of millions of dollars for around the next 6 years. Although Microsoft has a large amount of video game-centric ventures in their repertoire, Mixer, which was known as Beam before being acquired in 2016, only accounted for 3% of the viewership in the live stream market. Twitch, which Amazon acquired in 2014 for $970 million, owns approximately 70% of viewership, while YouTube owns 20%. According to Twitch, they accumulated 505 billion minutes of viewing time on their platform in 2018. Ben Schlachter, an analyst for Macquarie Securities, suggested that the move from Microsoft is to help the brand solidify itself in the marketplace, stating, "Microsoft needs top streamers to establish Mixer as a true destination to compete with Twitch and YouTube." Marketplace pressure is on the rise, with Google planning to introduce cloud-based gaming platform called Stadia in November, with hopes to strengthen their position in the streaming industry. The video game streaming industry has quickly become a lucrative marketplace, with some streamers earning as much as $50,000 an hour by earning money from advertisers, viewers tipping them, and also paying for subscription to their content. While Ninja is best known for playing Fortnite, a game that was put out by Epic Games that quickly rose to the top in the battle royale genre, he is also expanding his brand outside of gaming, earning sponsors with Uber Eats, Red Bull, and other brands. Ninja quickly became prolific in the streaming community, appearing on the cover of ESPN Magazine and even playing a game with rap star Drake. Blevins had more than 14 million followers on Twitch, which is double what the next most popular streamer has on the platform. On Sunday, August 11th, hundreds of protesters gathered outside of the Amazon bookstore in Manhattan, demonstrating against the large online retailer for their involvement with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Amazon Web Services hosts the Department of Homeland Security's databases that allows for all of its agencies to track immigrants and other persons of interest. Currently, Amazon is in talks with the DHS to further expand their partnership, which would include an extensive biometric database that stores eye color, tattoos, and more descript identifiers. The protests started on Saturday, where anti-ICE protesters shut down parts of the West Side Highway in New York City. The protests, organized by a local Jewish leadership, shouted slogans such as Never Again and Close the Camps in front of the store on Sunday. Sunday was also Tisha B'Av, which is a Jewish day of mourning and fasting that commemorates the destruction of ancient temples and the persecution of the Jews. Demonstrators held signs that conveyed alignment with Jewish history in what is currently happening, with the protesters asking Amazon to break ties with ICE. Reports from the NYPD said that 44 protesters were arrested on the second day of protests. This is not the first incident of Amazon receiving flak for providing services to the DHS. On July 11th, demonstrators gathered outside of the annual Amazon Web Services Summit in New York City, where they rallied for the same reasons. Deborah Axt, the co-executive director of immigration rights organization Make the Road New York, indicated that Amazon services are essential to ICE working properly, stating, "That's why immigrants and allies have to come together to make sure that Amazon is held accountable. We want them to stop profiting off of our lives." The protest eventually made its way to the keynote address from Amazon CTO Werner Vogels, where protesters shouted, "Amazon, how much longer will you have blood on your hands? Cut ties with ICE." The interruption solicited a response from Vogels afterwards in a tweet where he stated, "I let trolls be trolls, but to yesterday's group who feels that because of my name, I, and thus Amazon, must be the next incarnation of WW2 Nazis, I am Dutch. My parents were sent to forced labor in Germany and were fortunate to return where many did not. Do your research." An Amazon Web Services spokesperson said in a statement that governments and companies should be using their technology responsibly and lawfully, further stating, "There is clearly a need for more clarity from governments on what is acceptable use of AI and ramifications for its misuse, and we've provided a proposed legislative framework for this. We remain eager for the government to provide this additional clarity in legislation, and will continue to offer our ideas and specific suggestions." Following the killing of 51 people in two mosques located in Christchurch, New Zealand, in March, a bill was subsequently passed that outlawed most semi-automatic weapons, as well as any modifications that could make weapons automatic. In April, directly following the attack, the vote passed through Parliament resoundingly, with 119 votes yea and one nay. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's government rushed the legislation banning the firearms, setting aside $150 million to implement a buyback program for now illegal firearms. The shooter, who was from Australia, had bought the weapons legally and brought them to the country through the correct avenues, despite experts initially thinking that he had bought them on the black market. At the time of the shooting, Ardern spoke to the ability for the shooter to bring weapons in legally, stating, "I could not fathom how weapons that could cause such destruction and large-scale death could be obtained legally in this country. I struggle to recall any single gunshot wounds. In every case, the victims spoke of multiple injuries, multiple debilitating injuries that deemed it impossible for them to recover in a day, let alone weeks. They will carry disabilities for a lifetime, and that's before you consider the psychological impact." Since the shootings in Christchurch and the rapid implementation of legislation to purchase back illegal weapons, the government has collected 10,242 firearms and an additional 1,269 handed in under amnesty, meaning no questions asked about how the individual attained the firearm. So far, 90 gun collection events have been held throughout New Zealand, and according to police, there have been more than 7,000 firearm owners who have attended to hand in their weapons. The New Zealand police commended gun owners who came forward in a statement, stating that they were really happy with the public response. While there are many gun owners who are willingly handing over their firearms, others have been reportedly stockpiling weapons. According to police, numerous gun clubs have been highly critical of the buyback program, stating that law-abiding gun owners should not be punished for the action of one individual. There is an estimated 1.5 million firearms in New Zealand, currently among its 4.6 million residents, and those in possessions of now illegal weapons have until December 20th to hand them in. If caught in possession of a banned firearm or weapon components, one can potentially face a prison sentence of 2 to 5 years. Thanks for listening. If you want to find more content, head over to subverse.minds.com to find articles, videos, and join our public newsroom, where you can discuss topics and ideas as well as share articles. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium, where we regularly post our content and receive feedback from our valued listeners like you. If you'd like to support our work, you can donate to our Subscribestar, PayPal, or Patreon. You can also get Subverse gear at our Teespring shop. All the links are in the description. Stay tuned for more content every weekday, and we'll see you next time.